furs. See, we can be cool and hip.
Fuck.
You're a hip-handling dude.
Yo.
I know we've not got that many listeners, but like you're really scraping the barrel now.
61 motherfuckers this week. Welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club. What is the first rule of Fife Club, I hear you ask?
Talk about us!
Oh, well, I was going to say my little Fife Club fairies here will tell you, but...
Sorry, I was just trying to get in there first. I'm excited this week.
Have a wee chat about it.
Please do. Just hit that wee share button on your social network of choice, and if you can hop on over to iTunes and give us a wee review, that would be wunderbar. So, around the mic with my good self, Kutch, this week is the ginger beard with a face. It's Jamie.
Hello. My head is mostly ginger hair, to be fair, so yeah. It's quite good.
Ginger beard with a face. Yeah. And not here this week is...
That was Mag subtly opening a can of beer.
I was shouting quiet. It's underneath the table. I got the table up in the
morning. Come on, Jamie, open yours.
Because we've only been sitting here for half an hour. We couldn't have done it before.
There we go.
Professionalism.
Sorry. Sorry.
So... as I was saying, not here this week is the wee workaholic comms gobshite Mark, because apparently his real job is more important than this. Anyway, Fifers, you'll be glad to know that in his place is everyone's favourite bassy voice bastard of a boy, Dave.
Blah blah.
And finally, making her Desert Island Dicks debut this week, it's the wonder from Westfield, it's Mags.
Booyah!
I thought she was from Kincardine.
We are so down with the kids. How are we all this week?
Good.
Yeah, not bad at all.
I'm good. So I'm excited for two reasons. I'm excited because it's my first ever Desert Island Dicks. Although I would like...
that's a good point.
I know, I've never done Desert Island Dicks before.
No, it's that you don't have a dick.
I know what I was going to say. Like, I might rename it Desert Island Vulvas, but we can talk about that later. Also, I'm excited because I've never done a show with Dave before. Like, we're normally not allowed in the same room together, and I think the listeners might have thought that we were the same person, just very good at doing different voices.
I was really trying for a voice, but I couldn't quite get there.
It's because you're like two animals that are, you know... fighting when you're apart, but put two together, you're really violent.
We are treble and bass.
that's our new dubstep.
Good luck with mixing the levels on this one, Guts.
I have a little bit of software that does it all for me.
Thanks, software.
Thanks. It does it in about 4 minutes as well. It's impressive. But yeah, a little less about behind the scenes. So... Jamie, before we go any further, would you please perform your ceremonial duties?
Yes. Please talk to us, we're needy, on facebook.com/fifeclubpod or at fifeclubpod, Twitter at fifeclub, email us at ken@fifeclub.co.uk, Instagram fifeclub, or on our fairly old now website, www.fifeclub.co.uk.
Perfect. Just also before we go on, I kind of was thinking what we need to do is give our good friend Mark Layton a wee shout out.
Yes.
He is a motherfucking super fan. Yeah. He does not share and like and absolutely love it, Mark, and keep it up because you definitely are helping the cause. It's about time you had your dues. So there you go.
Jews, mate.
Good Jews. Like, no, wait, no. Andy Zaltzman's on.
Are there bad Jews?
Andy Zaltzman. You said there's a Jew.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm not even going to ask for an explanation. Yeah.
They're the ones you don't get through a blood transfusion.
And they like eating bacon.
What? Oh, I'm confused.
This is descending fast. Guys, let's go to Charlottesville. We've got work to do. Oh my god.
Oh, that's terrifying. Yeah. But, yeah.
Kill all fascists. That's,
always a good message. And kill all fascists, and what do we do with Korea?
Oh,
North
god.
Korea.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, topic.
Let's hammer it out now. We can solve this.
I think China should just take it over.
Yeah.
I think if they're forced to, that's what they'll do. And then. Do you know what? People of North Korea would be much better off under China than they would be in the thing. But then they'd have a border with South Korea that has tons of American military bases on it.
Which is then a problem. It's a problem either way, isn't it?
So So is, am I right thinking that China's probably like the world's main producer of concrete these days?
Yes.
Do they produce enough concrete to like just concrete over all of North Korea? Like fill in all those bunkers that are hiding those fucking nuclear weapons. Go and like get some commandos in the middle of the night to come down with helicopters with like tubes and stick it into Kim Jong-un's house so that his entire house is concreted over. Just like concrete the fuck out of the place and that would be fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got a personal water park as
concrete,
well. So.
Concrete it over. And also it will help us with like if the bombs accidentally do go off, then we might not all die from radiation.
I've got a group of travellers that's moved next to my work. They'll do that for free. So I'm told.
Shit later on.
Dean's trying to tick all the fascist boxes tonight.
Do you know what?
Jews,
travellers.
He's doing a great job filling in for Mark.
We just need some misogyny now.
You were doing proud.
Oh, dear Christ. So, yeah, North Korea, that's a bit of a...
bombshell.
Let's just hope we get to Friday and this podcast goes out.
Fair point.
You'll need lots of like good audio treats in your nuclear bunker when we can't leave.
And do you know what? This is the 29th episode, so you've got at least must be about 37 hours worth of us. If not,
that's loads. Can we give a shout out to
you poor bastards?
Thing is, Dave, you're one of the poor bastards.
That's a lot more harrowing than when the wind blows.
That was so upset. I think at this point, we should try and give a shout out to Scotland's premier nuclear bunker, the secret bunker.
Oh, yes.
It's an open secret that Scotland's best nuclear bunker is in Fife. So we'll all be safe. Don't know about all you fuckers that are not Fifers.
It's the one next to Pit Corfe that's been filled in with concrete. That's the best one.
It was really hot there.
Where all the new houses are.
Yeah. Was there a bunker there that was filled in?
Also, where all the RAF houses were.
Yeah.
And it was like Bikini State at the top, and it was this big entrance to a big nuclear bunker.
Have you been to the secret bunker in Cooper, though?
Yeah.
It's actually quite terrifying. Right. It's like a little cottage in a field, and it doesn't look like anything. And you go inside, and there's this big, long, sort of slope tunnel that goes down into the ground.
And you're walking for ages.
Yeah. And I thought that I
was... Is it 100 feet, 100 metres?
Pretty low. And it's got all the it's got all the 1980s communication equipment that you'd ever need in case of a nuclear attack.
You want that stuff, that's hardy. Yeah. That'll
totally.
You
know. It's got like little maps with like little like figures and boxes if you can push about on it like the Nazis had. So you can plan your like your attack from below the surface.
Is there not like your attack on the mutants?
There's not a little, like, kick-ass arcade in there as well. I remember something from being a kid being down there and it was just like, opening the door into like
because there was also there was the canteen because there was loads of mess and officer decks.
So
I'd imagine there probably is some kind of like
80s
entertainment room or something.
I was so terrified, there was supposed to be
one underneath Petrievi Castle as well.
That's the one.
Is that the one you're talking about?
That's all the new houses there are like where the RAF houses used to be. Yeah, so that's where it is.
Yeah, cool.
The entrance was at the top of the hill of the the road that connects it
comes in. So there, a little bit of secret bunker and
underground geography.
Underground layers of the military.
Pit Corfe legend had it. There was an entrance at the bottom of Beech Grove, and there is like a grated thing there, but I think that's been covered over now.
Is it not just like a burn access?
Well, I think that's what it is. But people are like, oh, it's an entrance to
the I'm sure it probably isn't.
It's those big cats they put it in. Yeah.
It's the crocodiles, mate.
Have we got something more cheery to talk about than impending nuclear warfare?
Yeah, a new bridge.
We
touched on it last week and I had the opportunity after Dave had driven across it and swore a lot.
I did.
I had the opportunity on Sunday to go for a wee jolly wander across it.
Can I just say, those pictures you were sending us whilst you were on it were possibly the smuggest things you've ever sent. Yeah. Like, that look on your face was just like, smug central. I'm shitting smugness right now.
The second we got on the bridge, because we'd just seen all Saturday was all like Facebook was all photos of folk on the bridge, and it was the same smug looking faces. So it was the second ship we got on, because it was like, right, stand there, smug face on.
We were just invited like, here.
The Scottish government. The Scottish government invited us to roll up across here.
Speaking of, Beatty did make a funny as well.
He made a jealous funny.
Yeah, it was. He said he was jealous as well. But we'll put that. Is that on Five Club? Did we share it on
the... I think he shared it.
Was it the meme with the slatted glasses?
It's like with the Kanye West glasses.
Yeah. It is not.
There is a little bit of that going on. Although, like, you know, because like our heads are about the same size as the slots.
Oh, is that a bit?
You can kind of look out and see a pretty good view. But it's
do you get a view when you're driving over at like 2 mile an hour?
Just yeah, it's the best view ever. The car in front through the blood running through.
Well, all the animals die because you didn't get to work on time.
Well, it's funny because we were walking across it, and I was like, you know what? We'll probably never ever see it like at this kind of leisurely pace again. And then I stopped and went, wait, no, it's the fucking bridge. Of course we will. Yeah. It's like, sometimes you're going across it even slower than this. It took us about 45 minutes to walk across it. I'm pretty sure I've gone across the Forth Road Bridge, and it's taken about an hour to cross it.
Well, that's what I actually said last week, was that I was saying about getting trapped on the Forth Road Bridge for the last time and being cool with it, because it's like an old thing. I was on it for an hour and a half. And then, weirdly, I spent the whole of this week driving over the Forth Road Bridge. So I was just like angry all over again.
You son of a bitch.
It's like the uncle you don't like.
It is a bit weird, right? They like opened it for 2 days and then closed it for a week again, and then
with none of the new infrastructure open around it.
Yeah, or not much of it.
No, they didn't have all the new infrastructure open, did they? No. That's why there were one of the reasons why the delays were.
Do you know what? Yeah. It's one of my bugbears this week is like folk whinging and complaining about it. Like Dunfermline Press, there was an article about, I think it was about the walks, and somebody was on it going on about how, oh, it's not fit for purpose. The chaos that ensued last week shows that it's just all it's not sorted any of the traffic problems. It's just moved them a mile up the road, and it's just not, it will just not be worth, it's not worth the money and blah blah. And I'm just sort of like, you know what? Go and just take a bit of perspective for a minute. Mm. You know, take a hood of yourself and think about what last week was. It opened for 2 days. Every man and their dog wanted to go across it. It was at half the speed that it will normally be. Of course there was going to be, you know, chaos. Yeah. It's like, why don't you just sit down, calm down, and let it open for real and see what it's like.
Yeah.
Then bitch and moan when you're sat for 2 hours. Yeah.
Totally. I'd heard a phone in on 4th too, and it was some guy phoning up, and he was a Scottish guy that moved out to Bournemouth. And he was like, I drove up north just to drive over the bridge on the first day.
Oh, you're joking!
And he was like, I crossed that bridge, and you know where the money came from for that bridge? The Westminster government. It had nothing to do with Nicky's government. And I was just like, I hate this guy. This is one of the reasons that I was originally angry when the bridge first opened. Fuck that guy.
Seriously, imagine driving all that way to go over it on the first day. So I've not been over it yet. And I decided the other day I'm going to try and see how long I can go for without driving over.
Is this some kind of like protest?
It's my protest about the fact that it was unnecessary and actually... Oh no, genuinely. Like, I know, I appreciate what people are saying. When the infrastructure settles down and when it goes up to 70 miles an hour, it will ease it and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I do understand those arguments, but just... I was reading an article the other day, and there are 70 bridges of the style of the old Forth Bridge worldwide, all of which were affected by this rusting cable problem that was identified in the late 90s. The only one that has been replaced has been the Forth Road Bridge. Every single other bridge that was affected by that has been successfully repaired without having to replace the bridge. And I think when you read that, it does make you realise that actually that was a hell of a lot of money to spend when we could have repaired the old bridge.
But we spent 1.4 billion to have the Queen stand in the waft and smell of our shite. Which is worth it.
Didn't they manage to fix the terrible smell of shite around the bridge?
Not in my experience.
The other day when I was there, it was disgusting. It was. It's usually bad, but sometimes I'm at the ferry till waiting on a bus.
Yeah.
And oh my god, it was worse when it was that day when it was raining really hard. It was worse than usual.
Just to explain to listeners who aren't frequent visitors of the north side of the of the Forth Road Bridge, there is a wastewater treatment work right where the bridge, the new road comes up to the new bridge, and it absolutely stinks of shite. It has done for years. And the Scottish Water instigated like a whole new programme about 2 years ago to try and fix it, and it's still not fixed.
They dropped half a ton of urinal cakes in, and that was it.
So
it's not pleasant.
It was raining really badly as well the day the Queen came, so it probably would have been stinking.
I think most loyal long-term Five Club listeners will be more than familiar with it for our many rants about the Quayside waterfront.
Which was a new plan for this week. But this one seems more realistic.
One that might actually go ahead.
Because it's like, do office blocks and stuff.
It's all going to be...
Instead of, we'll have a waterside plaza. And it's like, that's not going to work.
Theme park. We'll have resized version of the Kelpies.
I do think, though, that they're missing it a little bit. So the land, the whole argument was about, so the land's been zoned for industry. And in order to do that crazy hotel plan and stuff like that, they would have to rezone it for mixed use. And the council refused to do that. Which I can kind of understand. But I do think there's so many cruise ships coming into Resythe now. My gran's favourite cruise line, Fred Olsen, who she goes away with on cruises every year, their main base for this coming winter, for all their winter cruises, which are going up to the Arctic and in Scandinavia, is Resythe. So people from all over the UK are going to be coming to Resythe to get on their boats from there.
Fred Olsen, it sounds like a euphemism where your gran goes away with a guy called Fred Olsen. Every year to Scandinavia and has a dirty couple of weeks.
Every time she goes on a Fred Olsen, she gets her photo taken with the captain, and she always says to me, "The captain specially asked for me to go and get my photo taken." And it's so sweet. I'm like, "Oh, grand." I don't want to explain to you that every single person gets asked if they want to spend £25 to get their photo taken with the captain. It's not just you.
Speaking of, actually, reminds me that the youngest person to go across the bridge. Yes. I think the Edinburgh News reported it was someone else. It was actually Jessica Nesbitt. Nesbitt, who's our friend Hannon Rabs.
Six days old.
Yeah, but I saw Cheryl on Twitter, like, "Get it right, Edinburgh Evening News." I think you'll find it was good.
If any of the listeners can think of anyone younger than that, don't bother letting us know, because I'll just ignore it. Alice won that one hands down.
I went for a wander across it, and you know what? It's impressive. Like, see when you're standing below the towers, like, my God, they're huge. Like, that really makes you feel a little bit dwarfed. And the amount of technology that's been fired into it as well. I mean, like, all the cables now have a air conditioning system, which is probably expensive to run, but the idea being it stops rusting. So it negates the issue that the first bridge has had.
I like how you can replace every bit of it, including individual cables, individually. So that if they see one, they don't have to replace fucking tons of them. They just replace that one thing. So it should last. We're saying it'll last a minimum of 120 years and maybe more than 200.
Yeah.
But they've put all this technology on, but they couldn't manage a fucking bike lane. That was too much for them.
You can go across the old bridge.
Is going to be a bit, but I just worry that they're not going to spend... That's a lot of money to basically maintain a bike lane to keep the old bridge open.
Buses as well.
They'll
tout it as a public transport thing. Because I get buses all the time to Edinburgh and across the bridge to Livingston, and so that's going to be fucking great.
Because I think the idea behind that is because it will have so little traffic on it, is that there'll be a lot less maintenance and then it will expand its life beyond...
Because HGVs aren't allowed on it anymore, are they? That's the main thing.
Buses, taxis, pedestrians and cyclists. Mm. Which is brilliant. If it stays that way, brilliant. I'm just a little bit worried that they're not going to commit to the budget to that. Or if they do commit to the budget to that, they're just going to be like, fuck it, we'll just open it up whenever the traffic's a bit busy on the old bridge, on the new bridge. Which might not be that bad.
They might do it a few times a year.
Well, they'll need to if they can't have both of them open at the same time. Because the way that the road layout works,
you've got then the eight lanes of traffic merging into two.
Yeah, you know, no, so the roads aren't designed, you're designed to either go on one or go on the other, and they flip between them. You can't split.
But if there is a problem with a new bridge, then they can...
Well, that's it. If there's a big accident or something like that, then, you know, it is as easy as...
Gives a diversion route, yeah.
GQE contingency, like I said, rather than being like, wait, it can carden.
Yeah, and that's it, and then you can get folk over it, probably, you know, within an hour or two, fix up whatever's going on, move whatever's happened. And
also, can we just give a shout out to the truck that broke down on the new bridge on the very first day? And not only did it break down, but it was too wide to go into the new hard shoulder. So they actually ended up having to close a lane anyway.
Fuck that guy.
Although he did get a plaque for it.
Did he?
Apparently they had a plaque
for the first breakdown.
Yeah, for the first breakdown, so it's amazing.
A bell end for life.
It was going to happen. It's been kind of a little bit exciting roundabout and just something a bit new and different. It's
a nice view from my window. Yeah. It's nice to look at.
It is very nice.
It's a broad bridge.
It's one of these things where some
people... three centuries and three bridges now, so that's quite...
Some people hate that kind of stuff. It's like, you know, the old windmills and the turbines going up and whatnot. People whinging...
Turbines, mate.
Turbines, yeah.
Jews and turbans. Jesus Christ.
I'm not saying anything. I'll leave that to Penn.
But yeah, though, like, when people go up and they start, this is absolutely man in it. Ruins the landscape and that. It's like, fuck off.
I don't like change.
They look fucking cool. And you know what? The same with the bridge. It's a marvel of modern engineering.
Yeah.
And I always like stuff like that.
It was when our, for a wedding, a Scandinavian guy came over who was a part of the wedding party, you know. And we never met him before. And he's like, oh yeah, I was coming across. And I didn't like that. I liked the new bridge, but I didn't like the other one over the fourth. And we're like, oh, the normal road bridge. And he's like, no, the orange one. And we're like, I didn't like that ugly bridge. And we're like, what? Were you not there? I thought you were there. No, what was this? The guy came across Hannah's... Is it Hannah's?
Husband
or...
For your wedding?
Boyfriend.
Oh, no, for...
For Shona's wedding.
For Shona and B. Yeah.
Didn't he come into the...
Jorgen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he come to the thing, the... Stag do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he said. And we were like, what the fuck?
I've never met this guy, but he's going to fuck himself.
Yeah. If you're listening, Jorgen, sorry.
I'm not.
But you were wrong.
So that was... It's been kind of cool. But yeah.
It's like the BFG, but one letter different. It's the Programme for Government.
No, but see, all the cool kids do P and then the number 4 and then G.
Is that what people are doing?
That's, well, internally in the parliament, that's how we refer to it, the P for G.
Listen, we're trying to get hit with the kids.
And no, yeah, this is the week we're trying to get down with the kids, and you have to put a number in there in order to be cool. So,
P for G.
I did see zero kids tweeting on the Programme for Government hashtag today, but whatever.
So I was out for a walk.
Maybe everyone's got P for G, though. I was PFG, so that's my mistake.
Yeah, it's the number 4. I was out for a walk after work, and I said to my friends, I need to get home one time because I'm recording a podcast, and they jokingly said, oh, is it just going to be you talking about the Programme for Government? And I was like, yes. What's so funny about that?
And then you had pints of Mr. Train.
And then I was like, I know, because we were talking about district heating systems. We're very cool in the Scottish Green Party. It's interesting. Do you know where the biggest district heating system in the UK is?
It's in Glasgow, isn't it?
No. Oh, it's in Lerwick. Half of the central heating in Lerwick is provided by a district heating system, which is an incinerator for food waste, and it's doing so well, they're buying food waste from Orkney. That is really fucking boring, and I hope you cut that. But that's why I missed my train, because I was talking
because
about
it's,
that.
Because so. It's like how up at the tip they've got the methane...
Biodigester.
And
it does nothing. You could power loads of houses off of that.
Well, I think the flats were at one point. I don't know if they still are.
I thought it was meant to be a swimming pool at Carnegie.
It's plumbed
in. They talked about it, but it's quite a long way.
I'm pretty sure it's plumbed in, because it's plumbed into Queen Anne. Oh. But Queen Anne don't use it because it's a bloody half and half. Where, what's the term I'm looking for?
Are they full electric or something?
No, it's not the government. It's not the council that own it.
PFI. Oh, it's PFI. It's a PFI project, and, yeah. They've not connected it.
Yeah, so if they used it, they would have to basically...
That's just insane.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's something there, and it could, like you say, power tons of homes or heat tons of homes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, so today was... the Scottish Programme for Government, which, for those of you who are not total political geeks or don't live in Scotland, it's basically the Scottish version of the Queen's speech. Yeah. So down in Westminster, once a year, Theresa May, or whoever the Prime Minister is, aides write a speech, and then they make the poor Queen... Oh, actually, she needs to do something to earn her money. But they roll this, like, 90-year-old woman out, and she sits there and she reads it really slowly. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
That crown's really heavy as well.
And the really heavy crown.
Yeah, except she didn't bother last time.
No.
Oh, she didn't wear a fancy crown, did she?
Austerity, mate, yeah. Austerity.
The crown got driven in.
So we had our Scottish version today, which is just the First Minister standing up and reading out what they're going to do for the next year. But if you're into politics, it's quite an exciting day. And... I thought we could talk a little bit about it, but then also talk about what we would do if we were First Minister for the day. So, yeah, who wants to kick off?
Is this layman's terms like a to-do list for government?
It's a to-do list for the next year.
Even though we've got 10 bills hanging over from
the last session. So last year, in fact, there was more than that. Last year,
is it more?
Last year, no, you're right. Last year they had 14 things on the to-do list. They did 4, so they're having 10 carried over, plus another 16 things to do. Now, to be fair, there's always a delay. So last year it was the first one after the election. So it takes a while. You have to start all of them from scratch. And it takes 2 or 3 years to bring a bill through. So they've passed 4 of the bills. They're all done and dusted. And the other 10, they're still working on them. Which is kind of enough. But to add another 16,
there's
quite a lot.
This is the biggest one I can remember seeing, like, number of measures by far.
Yeah, it's pretty ambitious. But it's what they need to do. I think the SNP got a big shot. Well, I think they knew it was coming, but they got hit hard in the council elections. They got hit hard in the Westminster elections. They've been in power for 10 years, which has never happened in the Scottish Parliament before. And they need to do something really radical and drastic to make people be like, oh shit, yeah, they're worth our vote.
Yeah.
So there was some really interesting stuff.
Definitely.
My favourite thing was, which we should all be cheering and clapping about, although it is just funding and feasibility at the moment, is basic income. Scottish Government have finally said that there is merit in a citizens' income scheme and they're going to give funding towards it. There's a joint pilot in the making between Fife Council, Edinburgh Council, Glasgow and North Ayrshire, one of the Ayrshires.
Yeah, I think it's North.
And basically it's all good to go. They've written reports and stuff like that. All they need is funding now, and it sounds like the Scottish Government's going to fund those pilot things, which is super exciting, and Scotland could genuinely lead the way in something like this. So that was pretty good.
It's definitely one of the more exciting parts of it. I'm certainly intrigued in, because I think it's definitely so long as it works, it's definitely a step in the right direction. So far, everything that I've read on universal basic income, it just shows that it helps make for a better nation, better people, less stress. It's a nice safety net.
And it values the contribution that everyone's got to play to society, especially carers and mothers and for elderly parents and stuff like that.
It kind of builds on the wages for housework thing from the 70s feminism, and it's essentially everybody gets it.
Totally. I said it. Ruth Davidson from the Tories stood up and completely said, I would be worried about citizens' income if it wasn't for the fact that it's never going to happen.
And that's a thing for the Greens as well.
But then 5 minutes later, somebody had retweeted a tweet from Professor Adam Tompkins, who's our spokesperson for benefits and social security, from 2 years ago, saying, citizens' income, this is a great idea, we should all support it. So get that up.
I'm surprised. I hate Adam Tompkins. Yeah. I'm really surprised he likes it. He'll like it from the Milton Friedman
There's a big movement, particularly in the States and from Silicon Valley, and isn't what's his face, Mark Zuckerberg, planning to put money into citizens' income pilots and things like that. So there's an argument about citizens' income from a right wing point of view as well, basically saying people are useless and we don't need them anymore, so we're just going to pay them a basic income to not bother us.
And it also encourages entrepreneurs.
Well, it does.
Because you've got a guaranteed income.
Yeah, so you can go out and start your own business. Yeah. And things,
I'd just like to go through a few things I thought were really good in it. I actually liked almost all of it, apart from... So I'll go through things first. National Investment Bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's interesting because that will essentially work as a... It's been needed in Scotland for a while for proper investment in Scotland's economy, coordinated investment. But it can also act, if there's never a defence referendum, as a standby central bank as Public Sector ScotRail bid, which they said they couldn't do last time and because of European law. And then a fucking Belgian or Dutch company, Abellio, I can't remember which.
Abellio,
They were they're publicly owned in either Belgium or...
The last bid, the UK government changed the rules. It wasn't the EU. The UK government changed the rules, which would allow public sector to bid for it, but only after the last round of bidding, which was in 2015 or something like that.
So at the beginning of the process, the SNP said, it's EU law, we can't do it, which is not true.
Yeah, and it wasn't true, but we can do that now.
So that'll be good. Focusing on tech and media and financial tech, which I think makes a lot of sense, because they're Scotland's strengths.
Yeah.
Phase out all petrol and diesel cars by 2032. Yeah. New sales of petrol and diesel cars.
Yeah.
So which is 8 years.
8 years ahead. So the target the UK sets 2040.
Because when the UK came out, I said it should be 2030, not 2040, and they've gone 2030.
I thought 2032 is an interesting one.
Yeah. Because
what would the two extra years?
Like other Nordic countries do.
Nordic countries have gone 2030. There's a sort of, and I think France is looking at 2030 as well.
That's 25, isn't it?
Is that what it is?
25
good maths,
Dave.
Good
maths. Doubling active travel budget, extending use of community senses, and Ruth Davidson's response of it up to 12 months.
Yeah.
And Ruth Davidson's response was, but 16% of people who get done for attempted murder and serious assault, she sort of said muffled, get 12 month sentences. But it's like, there are guidelines. Judges aren't, if you do attempted murder, judges aren't going to go, right, I'm just going to give you a community sentence. Yeah. You know, fucking hell. Anyway, basic income, which I already talked about, increasing age of criminal responsibility, and a big one politically, no 1% public pay rise cap. And free sanitary products in schools and colleges.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to say as well, that, like, there's a lot of stuff, so that it's very heavy on policy, but there still seem fear to use the big economic levers that they have in terms of tax. But they seem to be hinting that we're going to do a progressive income tax soon, but they're not doing it yet. And she also mentioned the passing what sounded like a land value tax study as well.
So they're looking
I think that will come up for the next election. They'll do the progressive income tax next budget, or maybe the budget after.
Yeah.
And then land value tax will be just before the next election. Yeah. It'll be, we've got this figured out now, we're going to replace council tax because everybody hates it. There was a big study, I know. But they found another reason to elongate it. And I think that's why, because they're waiting until the next election. Yeah. And that'll be their big thing. We're going to replace council tax, and it'll be the Greens LVT policy, essentially.
It's entirely. So basically, they've already done a review. They did a review before the last election about council tax, and it said replace it with a land value tax based on the model that we'd been proposing, and they never did it.
All party group as well.
Like, it was nonsense. So they've got no reason to not bring that in. Like, they really haven't. Yeah. I think they've been tinkering the last couple of years, sort of in the run up to and then after the last holiday election, they've been trying to all things to all people and trying to appeal to tartan Tories, and they've realised now it's not worked.
No.
Because if you are a centrist slash right wing person in Scotland now, you vote Tory, and it's okay to vote Tory again.
It's okay to vote Tory now.
They have nothing to lose by dropping that pandering to the right wing vote and actually going for it.
Yeah.
And challenging Corbyn to be like, do you know what? Yes, you've got some of these ideas, but we're actually going to do it, and we've got the backing of most of our MSPs, and we've got the backing of our party members to be able to do it. And we've got enough people. Like, a lot of those things that they said in the thing today, the Green MSPs would support, so they've got the numbers to get it through.
And they
know
that. That's why they've done it that way.
It's definitely... what I did love was Ruth Davidson coming out of the blocks and going on about how... basically there were, it should be called something borrowed, something blue.
Oh yeah, because they kind of claim one to the policies and story policies.
Which is not true.
Although I did.
But then I absolutely loved it when Patrick Harvey stood up and just tore into the Tories for it. It's just like, you've been nicking our ideas for the last decade.
Yeah. No, I thought, genuinely though, there were three policies in there which they have outright stolen from them. So they, as well as the government putting, bringing laws through and putting new bills through Parliament, backbenchers can do it as well. So it's called, in Westminster, it's a private member's bill. In the Scottish Parliament, it's just called a member's bill. Mm-hmm. So anyone can bring a member's bill forward. We're working on one at the moment about default speed limits. But three of the things that they included today, without even mentioning the MSPs, are members' bills from the Labour and Tory MPs, MSPs, and they're just like completely copied and pasted.
They said, John Finney Smack, they wouldn't oppose it.
So John.
So we mentioned him because he's green and will get their support.
So John Finney's a former SNP MSP who defected to the Greens. So John Finney's got a bill going through about justified assault of kids. It's basically removing the last kind of justification for smacking kids. So it's just, it's a complete anomaly. It should be done. They've said they're going to support that, which is brilliant because it means it'll go through as a green bill. But the ending period poverty is a private member's bill from Monica Lennon, which they've totally stolen. The Franks law that's been championed by Miles Briggs, who's a Conservative MSP. Yeah. To be fair, it's had cross-party backing, but he's done that. And then there was a third one
as well. That's a massive thing, Franks law, actually. Franks law,
But again, it's just an anomaly that needed to get fixed. Yeah, and it's really good that they're sitting up and looking at that. And then, I can't remember what the other one was. There's another one that they'd stolen as well. Forgotten that now. And there wasn't even a mention to say...
But at the end of the day, that's politics though. And they are government and they're the ones that are going to make it happen. So if they've taken that, then it's good news for the parties that have been championed.
It's what always happens.
As I say, like you say, it means that they'll get support from the Greens, they'll get support from Labour, they'll get support from the Lib Dems, the Tories.
It usually happens after a party's looked a bit weak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you could see Theresa May taking some of Corbyn's ideas.
Yeah.
And you could see Brown's government taking some of Cameron's ideas. Yeah. And it's just, and the SNP, it always happens when they hit a bit of a weak patch. But I think that, I worry that the SNP are going to be like the usual, which is big talk, create legislation, and then not meet targets and not actually do stuff.
It's one of these, like, it's good, it's a good plaster but they need stitches sort of thing. So it's like it's a nice temporary fix to say something's going to be done but they can actually go ahead and do it.
I suppose it does get come down to the sort of the constitutional thing as well, is are they going to put independence, like another referendum, are they going to put that on the back burner for the next year or two?
I think the programme for government today was them sitting down and being like, right, what can we actually do without independence? How can we prove that Scotland can be a better country and it can be different?
Yeah.
And let's get on and do that, because that's the way you're going to win the second independence referendum. It's not saying, look at the things we could do if we were independent. We're going to act like we're independent now and we're going to do all these things and we're going to build people's confidence in the structures that we built and get them to the point where they're so different from England that it just completely makes sense to be independent. Yeah. That's the strategy. That was a big mistake in the last
referendum. Was the SNP were always really timid in their legislation because they were like, because we can't do that.
It's all Westminster's fault.
And it's like, even their land reform is going through, it's timid as fuck. And they have all the powers on land reform they need as well.
Yeah.
It's absolute bullshit.
Anyway. Totally.
The thing that's it is that there are more powers now than there were before the referendum first time round. They really should be just flying ahead with it. And it's like I say, you know, as much as I would love it and as much as the idea of a referendum coming along would be exciting and great, I don't think we're there yet. I really don't.
I think you need to see how Brexit falls out first, and then we need to
see what happens there. And then, like I say, this idea,
I know how,
over the next couple of years, put a very strong base in. You know, make that sort of foundation for an independent country.
Yeah.
Put it there. Mm-hmm. Like you say, make it so different that...
I think after we're served the croissant-shaped shit that Brexit is going to be, that people will be clamouring for independence. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. So, if you were doing a programme for government, what would you have done today? What would be your big idea?
Well... First thing for me is I'd close the borders straight away. build the wall between Scotland and England.
Okay, would you close the ports as well?
I would, yeah. I'd alienate myself from my own political party and my Twitter followers. And it's basically because I can't think of anyone else that would do something like that. Is that stupid? So. No, like, genuinely speaking.
Is it going to be a big, beautiful wall?
It would be lovely. No, genuinely speaking, the things that kind of ring kind of sensibly to me, and there's a few things that are even kind of being discussed in government at the moment and might be getting passed. Mm-hmm. 5-year sentence for animal cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Maximum sentence of 5 years for people that are cruel to animals. And again, that's kind of, it's not a definite, but a maximum.
Who would have thought our very own animal botherer would be up for that?
Like, so,
am I right in thinking at the moment that the maximum sentence is 12 months?
12 months, yeah.
Which is ridiculous. I heard, so you can get, this or that, I heard the other day you can get 5 years for fly tipping, but you can only get 12 months for animal cruelty, which very is completely true. Ridiculous.
Yeah. So yeah. If you sling a mattress out of your van on the side of a road and leave it there to rot and die, you'll get 5 years in prison. If you took 12 dogs out, you get rot and die.
You get 6 to 12 months.
The worst bit is if you fly tip onto animals, like there's a herd of sheep and you just dump loads of crap on it.
Have you done that?
You only get 12 months extra, so it's not that much of a disincentive. You get 5 years plus 12 months for cruelty to animals.
Like, fuck it, I'm just going to try and kill as many sheep as possible.
If anything, that's worth it to me. Yeah. Like, just to try it.
If you're going for it.
Yeah, you're doing it. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're gonna give me 20% more of a punishment. Fuck it.
They're only sheep.
I've always wanted to drop a couch on a sheep.
Bucket list tick.
Probably cows. I think that's Earthworm Jim. Affecting me. Yeah.
I think a cow would survive. You dropping a sofa on it, but a sheep don't think would survive.
It puts a whole new term to cow tipping.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very good policy. Yes. It was something that we were expecting to see in the programme for government, but I don't think is in there. Nah. But I've not read the whole, certainly it wasn't in the speech today.
It's something that would easily go through and plays well with media, so I don't...
To be honest...
It's a good policy. I was just thinking in political terms, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah, but the SNP have had a really terrible record on animal rights and animal welfare over the last year or two. Like, they've reintroduced tail docking for puppies, and they're resisting hell for leather the reform of the fox hunting law, which isn't fit for purpose either.
That's because they're fucked up the whole farmer payment thing. So, and they're trying to win votes off the Tories off the farmers.
Amazing what people will do for votes and get on the right side of like landowners and stuff as well. I can't remember which MSP it is just now, but he was in a photograph recently in his full fucking tweeds with this big group of landowners, and it's just like he was refusing to speak out against people shooting birds of prey.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just like, you don't even need to speak out against it. You just need to be like, that shit.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
That shit.
We
should put him in a pit like a dog fight, but with Andy Whiteman.
Andy would just like talk you down. He would like, I don't want you over with my words. Like, that's going to be violent towards you. I would leave you crying in tears of regret. So
that'd happen. Other than that, it'd be more power for localised councils as well. So 5 council being, it's the biggest council.
It's the third biggest after Edinburgh and Glasgow. The third population wise. It's the third biggest council.
Localised councils, absolutely.
Because Highlands is the biggest area wise.
Highlands is the size of Belgium.
Yeah.
Highlands council is the size of Belgium.
But
there's fewer people. There's much fewer people.
I think it makes sense to have a regional council, a regional thing outside. But you need bodies. Yeah. It as well.
Totally.
Especially for Highlands, you know, Highlands and Islands.
Absolutely.
And Fife, but totally. Yeah.
Some places are just sort of so far spread and so far away from, people. That's it. It's, if there's more kind of localised things and you're able to kind of talk about what's happening locally, they might even do more locally as well.
Yeah.
Maybe. Totally. Other than that, the little one for me is that fines be paid to the victims of crimes and not to government agencies. That's another big one that we found in the past. Because Criminal compensation is one of these things that victims of crimes can seek it out, but they're not always awarded it, and then they're always given a base level. So it's like, if you get attacked and assaulted and cut with a weapon, you can get paid up to a certain amount.
Yeah.
$6,000, for instance. And if you're a victim of a serious assault, mm-hmm. and you come out the other side of it, you can also be awarded up to $6,000. And it's just like, balances yeah. shit out. And also on top of that, a court can give you a fine and you need to pay it back to the court. But the person that's actually had the crime committed against them has doesn't get anything back for yeah. it. So it's
but the problem with that, though, it does develop, you do sort of start to tilt into a bit of a litigation culture.
Like claim culture, yes. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, yeah, it's like, I appreciate people should receive compensation for things that have happened to them, but it shouldn't be the motivation for prosecuting or charging somebody. And yeah. and there is a balance to be found there. And I don't know where that balance is.
I will say the thing. So yeah, basically, I think that if you're not paying minimum wage, you should have to pay double back wages of what you owe.
Totally.
To the people you're doing.
Yeah.
And if they do it again, make the thing a fucking workers' cooperative.
Yeah.
That's what I think the rule should be.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, they were very sensible things.
They were.
Do you know what I? Do you know what I chosen as my? This has been a long-standing uh-huh. thing of mine, and I swear to God, if I ever get elected to Scottish Parliament. Mm-hmm. People out there who might be interested in voting in me, I am going to introduce a members bill for this.
You can't kill all horses, Max.
That would be my second. So the Scottish Government today, in the active travel budget, announced an increase from a doubling from 40 million to 80 million of the active travel budget, which is amazing. I would use that money to make separate pavements for slow walking people and fast walking people.
Yes, man, that's a fast walking person.
Yes,
yes.
People who walk slowly down yeah. pavements, especially in Edinburgh where the pavements are really narrow and you're trying to get somewhere quickly and there's fucking fat American tourists in my way, does my tits in. So I would either.
That's bullshit. I'm fat and I walk fast.
You walk fast. Exactly. Yeah. No, it's just.
He's not American. Right? Sorry, American listeners.
Sorry, I apologise, American listeners, but you Jeez. Do walk really, really slowly. No, if the pavement was wide enough, I'd have a line down the middle, like the shared use pavements you get, and I would have fast on one side and slow on the other. If the pavement is not wide enough, then one side of the road is the fast lane and one side of the road is the slow lane. I have no problem with people coming towards me because you can get round each other. It's when you get stuck behind somebody who's completely unaware and there's three of them abreast and you're stomping really loudly and huffing and puffing and they still don't let you pass. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. And that's what I would do if I was First Minister.
I can totally sympathise. It is this, it's almost the same as shared paths between cyclists and walkers. So, you know, where it's like a split and a white line.
Yeah.
And you have people walking in the cycle side, yep. and as soon as you come up behind them and you ring your bell or you say excuse yep. me, they turn round, scowl and tut at you
yep.
when they're in your yep. fucking path.
And they're like, it's a pavement. Like, it's a shared use cycleway.
Massive fucking yeah. signs every.
There's a bike painted
yards.
On the pavement under your feet. You are in the cycle bend. No, it annoys me.
That does. I didn't even get this angry about animal cruelty.
Oh, dear.
Mate, I was all up for tipping a couch and a fucking.
Whatever. Mind you, I did that on Thursday.
No, we're back from training. It'll be dark. No one will know.
Got a spare couch.
Yeah. What would be your First Minister for the day?
So, if I was First Minister for the day, what I kind of weighed up was would I look to make some interesting constitutional changes, some interesting changes to the law, some things that would maybe make life better for people, or would I run through the corridors of the Scottish Parliament looking for all the leaders of the other parties, scanting them, and then stand there going, First Minister, bitch.
Then wandering about Edinburgh and using that privilege.
Uh-huh.
As you know, just as like the I'm the fucking First Minister. Come on, let me in. You know,
would you go for a cocktail at the Harvey Nichols Terrace?
Yeah.
And you'd have the whole terrace to yourself.
I would. Yes.
Wow, that's luxurious.
And I'd have the security and everything. Yeah. And then I'd be phoning people, like video calling them as well, just like, hey, Hey, bitches.
Over the Queen's Ferry crossing again.
Yeah. Close the bridge. Dave's over there fuming. I'm not sure that he was the last person before they closed it. I'm standing in front of him now. Can't do nothing. Got an army of police in front of me.
It's pretty good, isn't
it? Yeah, so I think I would totally abuse that power for... If it was just for one day.
You'd be the Scottish Berlusconi. Yeah. We'd have bunga bunga parties.
Bunga bunga parties. In the bungo club.
I'd, what I do, well, I have two hats, politically. I have like a reformist hat, and then my more serious revolutionary hat.
Jamie, are you going to dissolve the government?
Maybe. So if I was stuck within the confines of fucking parliamentary democracy, then I'd introduce basic income. I'd basically a lot of Green Party policies, a lot of more wealth and tax, very high progressive tax rates, more childcare, free childcare, that sort of thing. However, if I really wanted, yes, I would instantly dissolve the government. Oh no, actually no, that's not true. I'd actually first dissolve the borders of Scotland, therefore destroying Scotland as a concept. No borders, no states.
Wait, that work just for Scotland? Surely you've got to dissolve all the borders everywhere for that to work.
Well, I can't
is
do that
a
as
start?
FM.
Okay.
So this is a start. This is okay. The and then I'd take Scotland's idea of popular sovereignty that's been around since medieval times to its logical conclusion. And devolve all power to every single person with an equal share of power into freely associating communes, obviously. And then I'd abolish jobs.
And Steve Jobs is already dead, mate.
And then I'd dissolve all functions of government. And job done.
And then
question mark, question mark, question mark, full communism.
And then you go to the pub with Neil Findlay and pat each other on the back. good communists. That's quite a lot to do in a day, but good luck.
Like
we'll
a
help.
Few things. Just get started early, man. At 7 o'clock.
Yeah, man. If I dissolve a parliament first, I can get it done pretty fucking quickly.
Yeah, you could.
By dissolving it, do you mean just kill everyone?
Yeah, acid, yeah. Mate. Yeah. No.
Literally dissolve it.
I'm going to put a really boring technicality to you there, though.
What?
Well, you're the first minister of the Scottish Parliament.
No,
wait. If you dissolve, you're not a president,
yeah.
So you don't have any powers out with the Parliament.
Obviously,
if the Parliament doesn't exist, then the First Minister doesn't exist.
Obviously, I've been elected by a groundswell social movement.
Okay.
Which doesn't care about what the state can and can't do and only cares about me getting into a position of power to make this happen.
So you're going
to
be a dictator?
No.
I've been elected.
I have to get elected first.
What would your party be called?
And then I'm only elected on the idea that I do all these things. I'm a delegate.
I'm
not an elected member like our bullshit parliamentary system. I'm a delegate.
So on the ballot paper it would be Jamie Brown, delegate.
Yeah, I'm a delegate. They can instantly recall me whenever they want.
Okay.
But I'll pledge to do all those things on my first day. And then that's that. And they'll support me. They might be slightly armed as well.
I've just realised how much this sounds like...
Watch back to the again.
This does sound a lot like, basically, Donald Trump's campaign. On my first day in government, I am going to do everything you asked of me. So I hope we don't let the people down in the same way.
I don't think I have much in common with Trump, apart from maybe, I think without the sunbeds, we'd have a very similar complexion.
Totally. He is such a ginger. Like, he's got a proper
pasty,
Scottish complexion.
Pasty, Anyway, that's fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So
vote for us. Vote for Fife Club in the next election.
Nice going, Jesus.
Never mind animal cruelty if you're on the fucking bike path.
Walk slowly and you are fucked.
5 years. I'm gonna walk down the path in front of Mags with a cow. just hurrying it around Edinburgh.
With a cow.
A cow?
No! Fuck it, a horse, Mags.
Oh, enough.
I was
going to
say, everywhere. Are you going to wander around with a cow with a couch on it?
That's
I'll be sitting on the couch. Just a wee...
That's 12 months.
Because you've not tipped the couch yet. It's moving.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Good God. I think we should maybe just bring it down and calm down a little bit. And everybody, close your eyes. And imagine sailing gently on the ocean. And...
Oh, jeez. Oh,
bang.
Sorry, that's all funny.
We've all shot ourselves.
You've hit an iceberg and you're going down.
Icebergs are shocking, Max.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Radio 4. Welcome back, Fifers, to this week's edition of Desert Island Dicks.
Slash vulva.
I'm maintaining that I've got one vulva instead of a dick.
Maintaining sounds like we're suggesting that you don't. Like you've got something to say.
I don't know if I told you this.
Just started your own rumour.
And I knew this girl who was standing in Glasgow who's quite a hardcore feminist, and she was doing, on the day of the election, she was doing a bit of a campaign on Twitter to be like, if you're going to spoil your ballot paper, please don't put a dick on it, please be a proper feminist and go and draw a vulva on your ballot paper. And I was like, she's like, it's big and it's long and it can take up all the boxes if you need a really large vulva. I was like, that's a good point, why do we always use dicks as like our go-to method of vandalism?
Because they're hilarious.
Once when drunk, as I used to be when voting in elections a lot, not anymore, but a long time ago, I think it was a council election or something, and there were almost enough candid like boxes for me to write communism. I think there was one less, but I decided not to do it. I should have done it.
That was like the urinals at my work. In the toilets, they had little posters above each urinal, little poster things, and it was usually information about things that were going on. But there was enough around there, and I never did it, and always wanted to. Was never going to give you up. Never going to run around, desert you. There would have been enough for me to do it. But yeah, never did.
So we are back on the island.
Right, I'm a little bit worried about this island. Right. Because I've not been here before.
I would be if I was you.
And I was really looking forward to a nice tropical thing, but you've just said we just hit an iceberg. So yeah. is this a cold island?
No, icebergs fucking float for miles and miles into
the
ocean.
They don't float like down to the South Pacific.
This one does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay, are we on the island from Lost?
Actually, I thought, are we not on Inchcolm?
That's not tropical.
Or bashful.
I've got cans of lot. I don't know what you're talking about. It all looks tropical to me.
We've hit an iceberg, but we've been afloat for days before we hit the island. Days and days.
We've been taking water for fucking weeks.
We've been wrecked.
Right,
okay. Basically, Hemen was with us, and I had a door. I was on a thing, and there was enough room for him as well. But I said, I have to let you go. Let him float down to the bottom of the ocean.
And that's why he's not with us today.
Yeah, yeah. That's why he's not on the island.
Did you hear
that? Just after they banged.
Did you? Yeah, I think you guys spoke about this, the hoo-ha recently, because James Cameron criticised Wonder Woman in an interview for not being...
Not having a strong enough female character.
Well, it was a journalist from The Guardian called Hadley Freeman who did that interview.
Yeah, yeah.
And she did a response this week to it, and she was like, to be honest, I hadn't even noticed that was an issue. Because also, in that same interview, I got James Cameron to admit that there was enough room on that board for Jack, and Rose was just being selfish by not letting him on. And it could have been so different if she'd let him on. And she'd genuinely been super excited, and she wrote this at the interview, and nobody covered it at all. Everyone covered the Wonder Woman.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, but she cheated and got picked up. Yeah. We ended up on an island. And this week, we've got some visitors on the island. They've washed up with us. Yeah, we've got some celeb visitors.
Companions. science.
Yeah, what I'd say it's maybe been about a week. I don't know. Time's a bit weird on this island. Like, it just, I don't really know how long we've been here now. But yeah, it looks like we've got some an influx of new people.
Can I maybe go first with this and introduce my person?
Who would your celebrity...
Just to clarify, if you were going to be on the desert island... Now, I think we should clarify. So this is just you and the celebrity.
Yeah.
Just pretend we're not here. If you had to spend your time on the desert island with one celebrity, who would it be?
Well, I didn't so much choose this guy as it was obviously fate. Because we keep coming back to this island.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, it's weird stuff. Weird shit's happened here. Time's a bit weird on this island. I think it's the island from Lost. So I have taken Curly from Lost, the big fat guy.
Hurley.
Hurley. Oh, yeah. Doesn't even do the most basic reason. I watched all of Lost. And when we were walking up the road, Dave, and I went, oh shit, I haven't found my person yet. Oh wait, I've got it. And then I went, I won't bother. So it's Hurley. I didn't think it was Curly. Anyway, so Hurley, and my reasons are, if you don't know, he was on that island for years, right? And he didn't lose any fucking weight. He didn't lose any weight when he was huge. So, now, so, there was, my favourite fan theory at the time was it was all in his head. And he was like dying somewhere. But I'd take him because whatever he's doing to stay so big... I want in on that. And not only that, this is down to Dave actually on the walk up. If it comes to it, I could just eat him. So either way, I'm going to be well fed.
Do you think you could get on with him though?
I think he'd be a bit annoying because he doesn't want to do shit on the island. But then again, he wouldn't have to do shit as long as he let me in on his secret of how he stays healthy and big.
If he's got a secret stash somewhere.
I can't, but... He did have a secret stash food, I think, in like the second episode or something.
Smashing back the peanut butter, they bought
it. But it wasn't enough over the years, and they never showed it. So he has to have something going on, whatever that is, on this weird island. So that's he's one of the guys who survived as well, at least into the last series.
Yeah.
So I can't remember if he survived at the end. Oh no. Spoiler, everybody dies.
I just remembered the last episode.
I was just going to ask that. So I watched like the first two episodes of Lost and instantly got bored and never watched it again. What happened in the end? What was the whole thing? Did you ever find out why weird shit was happening?
No, you don't find out anything because it's J.J. Abrams' whole mystery box idea. Yeah. Right. So the idea is that he got given a mystery box by his uncle, I think, or his granddad when he was a kid. And that's why all of his stuff is always like big build up and it doesn't lead to anything. Yeah. So you found out like there were secret organizations doing things and there was like some sort of magnetic energy thing, but they never really properly explained.
And then they all just died.
No, they were all already dead.
What?
And they were in purgatory.
They were in limbo. Okay, so that was the whole mental
stuff. Which was my original theory.
So that was why all the mental stuff was just down to the fact that they were in purgatory.
Yeah.
And did they find out that they were in purgatory? Did they know that? Or?
In the end, yeah.
The ones that didn't die on the island...
Right.
Found out in the end that they were already dead.
Right.
So I don't know what ever happened.
They got back and then... to like civilization, and it went back. They felt drawn back to the island. I can't remember because it was bullshit.
Oh, right.
The last series was a joke.
It was like a really long episode around the twist. Except it was not as good.
Yeah. Well, I didn't devote much of my life to watching that then.
But that's my guess. Kutch, who do you have?
So, I've got, well, actually, on that note, it's not so much about that's who you would have, but who would you end up with?
Oh yeah, because you have to decide.
Yeah. You're gonna...
I just want to tell you guys, first.
I hate Christina Hendricks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or does Jamie get to now pick, tell us? Or do we want to go around and do...
Or do ours first.
Do our choices first, and then we can pick who we actually end up with. Because we're fun like that. Yeah, we are really good friends to each other.
Bunch of cops. Dicks. So I went a wee bit more sort of practical. Quite like practical ideas on this island. I've decided that if somebody was to roll up and they were to be a celebrity, it's celebrity chef Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall.
Okay. Okay, yeah. That's a practical choice.
Yeah, because you know what? He's a dab hand at everything when it comes to cooking and farming and cultivation. But and everything.
Is he though, or does he just have a good production team behind him that actually do it?
I think
it?
He's picked up enough.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty skilled. Yeah.
If there's no alcohol on the island, how is he going to survive? Yeah. Because he's permanently drunk.
Yeah.
It's cider as well.
Yeah. He also likes to cook things using cars. Like, mind that he did like one of his first ever programs, he found some roadkill and wrapped it in tinfoil and then put it on his car engine and drove around until it was cooked.
Yeah. I was watching one the other day where he went out and got roadkill and I was like, oh, what is he going to do with this? But it was actually to hang above a bridge so that it would get maggot infested and then the maggots would drop out into the water and attract sea trout. So it was like over a river, so then he could go and quite literally just net up sea trout. And it worked.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, quite a clever plan.
Yeah.
Wow. Dave's face.
Yeah, man. Like, why just go fucking fishing?
It's an old poacher's trick, apparently. Hey, but that's why I'd have him.
Yeah.
For things like that. And I think he would get on swimmingly well with me and the pig and the mushrooms. I think he'd be partial to some mushrooms as well.
If
he can't be drunk.
He's very posh, though.
He is
very posh.
I think I could get on with him. Mm. I think I could have chat with him.
He's mostly veggie these days, though. Like, his recent books have been about vegetables. Mm. But he's very
good. We're on an island where we have to survive, so, you know.
Yeah.
It's whatever we can get our hands on.
Well, I'm going to one-up you on that, though. Because who would be more useful? Well,
you're not taking Bear Grylls, are you?
No! Fuck Bear Grylls! Bear Grylls is not into survival at all. He's just got a really expensive crew.
It's not the other one, Ray.
Ray Meters, yes! If you're going to be abandoned on an island anywhere, clearly you want Ray Meters. Like, I fucking love Ray Meters. I honestly can watch Ray Meters programmes all day long.
He's really fucking boring to watch.
Well, he reminds me of my dad, so I think I could spend a lot of time with him. My one proviso would be that he always had slightly longer shorts on and he wasn't to crouch down unexpectedly.
There's always a hidden ball, isn't there?
There's always a hidden ball hanging out with shorts, yeah. But you know, he's so, like, his wilderness programs that he does, where he's done a whole load of good ones in Northern Canada and in Alaska and stuff like that, and they're so interesting. And so not only could he, like, teach me all, not just cooking, but, like, fire and shelter making and stuff, but he would also know all the story about the island and who'd lived there before and how many people had died on it and how long it was going to be before we died, and he would keep you entertained with all this interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, Ray Meters is your man. If you're gonna,
you can craft a mean bush.
He could, like, totally, like, build you a house, basically. He would weave you a hammock from seaweed. And he would,
or,
like...
again, would his production...
No, but that's the thing. That's the difference between Ray Meters and Bear Grylls, is Ray Meters actually knows this shit. Like, he's no man that boring would end up with a TV program if he didn't actually know his shit. Whereas Bear Grylls, they've just been like, oh, there's a young, slightly attractive posh guy who worked for the SAS. We're going to give you a TV program and turn you into this character. Whereas Ray Meters has clearly spent years and years and years and years doing this stuff. And even now, he only gets, like, a 6 o'clock slot on a Sunday night for his TV programme. Like,
I remember watching a Ray Meters show once where he was following, it was like an indigenous African tribe who are, like, I think his term was, like, amongst the financially poorest people in the world, but, like, but they're the most like, rich in terms of social, oops,
basically, social well-being.
Yeah, social well-being, yeah. Like, they have...
Whereabouts was it?
Like, somewhere Africa. In Africa. Africa. Somewhere, I cannot remember where, which is terrible. But anyway, so he kind of had followed them. He'd been invited in and followed them for a good couple of months, and the whole show was about that. But what was fantastic was that they would find plastic, so, like, discarded plastic in... the forests and the deserts and wherever, because they would, the whole thing was with the tribe, is that they would walk over the 6 months, like, this huge territory and cover this huge massive amount of land. It was they're always moving, and they're like 200 strong. It's not, you know, not huge, but, you know, certainly a nice community, basically. And it was all about their hunting techniques and whatnot. But as I say, they collect plastic, discarded plastic, wrappers and whatnot. And then what they do is they melt them and shape them and make jewellery. And then what they have two or three guys that live in one of the metropolitan cities, which are on the outskirts of the land that they wander about on. And they send all the stuff that they make to these guys, and they sell them in the markets and make money. And then once a year, they come back round, the whole lot of them come back round to this metropolitan area and western up and go for huge meals and everything.
Amazing, yeah. And then, spend all their money
and then go back to their like nomadic lives.
Are they a tribe called Quest?
Apparently, did you say Oracle claiming that Ace of Base are all Nazis?
Yes! And
it
seems to be true as well.
Where the fuck did that statement come from?
Apparently, it's been about for ages, but.
What's that got to do with Africans making jewellery?
Tribe Called Quest.
Were they for Ace of Base and Tribe Called Quest connected?
Similar times.
Yeah, similar time.
Right, okay.
Yeah. All as she I said, wants is another Holocaust.
She's gone tomorrow. As I said, just listen to some Chumbawamba, who are anarcho-communists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that'll sort of balance it out. Yeah. It's like two ends of the spectrum. Yeah. So you can still listen to them, as long as you listen to the equal amounts of Chumbawamba.
Well, good. I mean, I personally, when it came to this one, I gave it a load of thought today, as I always fucking do. So my first thought is I was going to take Ed Stafford or Bear Grylls, but Ed Stafford tends to do his own shows in the bar.
Who's Ed Stafford?
He does all the, walking an aisle and surviving naked on a desert island.
Is this the guy you told me to watch your show the other day?
Yeah. No, that's Levison someone or other. He's the explorer chap. But no, Ed Stafford's worth a watch as well. He does he basically isolates himself in the middle of nowhere and survives for 5 days. On his own toenails, basically. But he's done a few of these shows where he does them entirely in the buff, and I'll be honest, I'm all right.
Are they on a Discovery Channel?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Mean,
he's not bad.
I've got a really important question, though. If you're going to be stuck on this island with a person for quite a long time, is he American?
No.
Good.
I'm coming on to this.
All right, okay.
Sorry, our non-existent American listeners.
Oh, God, I said something ridiculous.
It's America. So there was that thought. Then there was also the thought that Bear Grylls would be too busy drinking his own piss in a 5-star hotel room.
Yeah.
So what I decided to do is go with someone a bit more difficult to impress.
Okay.
So someone I could ask to come on over and lend a hand. Someone who'd be driven up the wall by my genius thoughts. It's Shania Twain. my thinking here is we could work together, and because she's so difficult to impress, I'd really need to push myself whilst on the island. And even if she can construct and drive a car, that won't impress me much. The best bit is, as well, is I fucking hate Shania.
choosing to be stranded with someone you hate.
But that's my thought, is even if she's inevitably in a fucking battle to the death with my honey badger, and she comes out the other side three limbs off, still won't be that impressed.
Are you going to keep her warm in the long, cold nights? She thinks you're all right.
Yeah, so Shania Twain would be with me. Why not? Why not?
Good for you.
She was in a cult, wasn't she?
Was she?
Yeah, I'm pretty she sure bought she joined a cult.
No, she's just American, man.
All right, sorry.
I think she's Canadian.
That rings a bell.
I think Shania Twain might
Let's
be Canadian.
Let's get on to the fact.
Where are you from, Shania Twain?
Fact check. Alexa, where's Shania Twain from? No, so there's a big controversy. When I was in New Zealand about 10 years ago, she bought an upland, a really historic upland sheep.
First search is Shania Twain Lyme disease.
She bought an upland sheep farm. And
she's ticked that box.
Scurvy for her.
Anyway, have you found out where she's from yet?
I'm looking.
Alright, so basically she bought a big farm in New Zealand and then sacked all the staff and just turned it into her holiday home and only went twice a year, and all the locals, which were just sheep basically, but people were really mad about it because it was fucking, she owned two mountains and a huge big bit of land.
Was she there on her own?
She used to get the helicopter in.
See, she's
got
Stafford.
A helicopter.
She's
either.
Fucking Ed Stafford. Sorted. Yeah. So I made the right choice.
Yeah.
So she was born Aileen Regina Edwards.
Well, that's a catchy name. I don't know why you changed that. Yep.
She sounds like a Scottish granny.
Aileen the Regina.
And she is a Canadian singer and songwriter.
Thank you. Canadian. There you go. Canadians are fine. I don't mind Canadians. Just Americans don't like.
Ontario.
Apart from Shania Twain. She doesn't impress me much.
So, those are the people that we would like. However, Kutch very cruelly said, actually, you don't get to go to the island with the person you want to pick. We get to pick it for you. So how's this going to work?
So,
I've got Jamie's.
You got one for Jamie? Okay.
Fair enough.
Well, straight away, you want to go with, it's Hurley or Hugo from Lost.
Yeah.
He's the sound funny one. He's kind of like quirky and kind of gets away with a load of shit. I would send you with Ben from Lost, who is a total dickhead.
Oh, so shit.
He was the one that was like twisty turny. Is he sound? Is he not? He's not.
Even if I dressed him up, he would look like Christina Hendricks. Fucking hell. Whereas if Hurley lost a bit of weight, he's got the curves.
He's got the hair.
That is depressing.
Yeah, sorry, man.
To go around this then. So do you want my person? Dave, you can get my person. So I couldn't really think of a person because I was like, I'm too nice. I don't want to be mean to my friends. So the full credit for this goes to Craig, other half Craig. So we were on the train on the way home and I said to Craig, I was like, oh, I've got a really good person that I want to be stuck on the island with, but I need to think of someone to inflict on someone else. And I don't want it to be totally bad. So I'm thinking, genuinely what I said, I was like, I'm thinking of somebody who might have some kind of skills around like building shelters, or you know, building like somewhere to live or things like that, but you maybe wouldn't want to be stuck with them for a long period of time. And his response was Joseph Fritzl. So Dave, you're going to get a load of Joseph Fritzl.
Do you know what, he'll help you build a basement.
Comes, you'd be totally safe because you'd be underground.
That's actually calling back as well because he did build the hatch and Lost.
Just remember you're going to have his children as well.
I hope I'm not his type. I also got to hope he's not mine.
You've not got a choice, mate.
7 years bad luck.
So... Yeah. Kutch, I've got one for you.
Uh-huh.
He would spend a lot of time interviewing you, yet get nothing meaningful out of you. It's everybody's favourite presenter, Piers Morgan.
Oh, I was thinking him! And I was like, that's so cruel! You can't make anyone feel that I'm Piers Morgan!
Shittest person.
Actually,
that would be the worst.
God.
No.
If there's anybody in the world that infuriates me more, it's Piers fucking Morgan. Oh no!
How long would it be before you drowned him? Because like, let's face it, he's a big
drown him or myself either. Or.
Blob, like he's not like he'd be able to do anything useful or fight you off. So you could drown him pretty quickly.
It would just be continual gaffes, like shit banter gaffes.
Yeah.
Like whenever anything was said or anything was done, he would just come out with something where you're just looking at him like, shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up and fuck off out my life.
Just really annoyed, man. I know there's a lot of reasons to take Piers Morgan, but I think what annoys me the most is it's a weird thing, but is like commenting on sports on Twitter, because he talks about rugby a lot, and if England haven't played as well as they usually do, but England are one of the best rugby teams in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they usually play pretty fucking well. They've been a bit shit recently, but he's like, oh, bloody bloody blah, I would never do that if I stepped onto a field. And it's like, Piers, you would never step onto rugby. And I've seen some athletes like being back, like, shut the fuck up, you don't know what you're talking about. And it's really infuriating. And he talks about it all the time. He's like, oh, I would be ashamed, I'd never do this again. It's like, you would never do it, Piers. You would never fucking
He's clearly like the typical kid that went to a really expensive like private school but never got to play for any of the sports teams. He was fucking awful. So I said, like, I bet you, I would tweet like I'm in a sports team. No one will know the difference.
I just don't understand how he's still a thing. He's just an intolerable gas bag, and he shouldn't be.
That's what TV's full of nowadays, though, isn't it?
So,
have you got one for Mags, Coach?
Yes, I do. It is. You're not going to get to sit with boring old Ray Mears. You're going to have somebody who's going to have a voice more annoying than yours.
Does that exist?
I'm going to give you a little example.
Play me
just
a song.
Now.
I can't stop laughing at being stuck on an island with Joseph Fritzl. I was stifling it like fuck. Oh, it's brilliant.
So you're going to be stuck on an island with this man.
Hey, the erotic best-selling novel read by Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, yeah!
Who's this guy?
Inner goddess has stopped dancing and is staring too.
Who is he?
Mouth and
he's the Iago from Aladdin.
Yeah. Hear it, Gilbert Gottfried. The way it was meant to be heard.
Keep still, he orders. Slowly he inserts his thumb inside me. Round and around, stroking the front wall of my... Twisting, you say. Anything else you object to? I agree to the fisting. Really like to claim your ass.
Fake voice actor Gilbert Gottfried gives a reading that can only be described as sensual.
Holy fuck, is this wrong? But holy hell, is it erotic?
Christian. So, yeah, you're going to be stuck with, Gilbert Gottfried.
If he's going to read to me 50 Shades of Grey, I would genuinely, it's the only time I would ever contemplate thinking, the only time I think 50 Shades of Grey would be entertaining if he was to read it.
But how long do you think you could cope with that voice?
Well, I just like to point out, I've coped with 32 years of a sister and a brother, so I'm pretty good with annoying voices.
Hi,
sorry, Lizzie and Alec, I love you both very much.
My honey badger would be going fucking mad.
Oh, that's who I should have trapped her on island with. She's not a celebrity, but just Lizzie.
Too late now. You can't take it back. You missed the opportunity.
The honey badger, what was that guy called?
Gilbert Gottfried.
Honey badger, go after him.
Uh huh.
Then you'd get a Piers Morgan going, oh, if I was a honey badger, I would have killed him much better. Kill Piers Morgan, and then Hugh Farley Wigstall will kill it and raise it above the ocean and let maggots drop into it. So then he can get
catch a killer whale. Yeah. This is working out well.
It is, yeah.
I think we're quite a functioning community.
Why is Joseph Fritzl still alive?
Because he's keeping Shania Twain warm at night.
That's insane.
Oh dear. It's your punishment.
Well, that has been a very eye-opening first visit to the islands for me.
Yeah, it's usually how it ends.
I love our island. I've dressed up Hurley as Christina Hendricks.
You're off in the corner. Yeah. We're not going to see Jamie for a while.
Boy, have I got a Photoshop this week.
And then fucking Ray Mears comes over and is like, oh, I'll craft that bush for you. And then I'll make a horrible pun about bushes. Insert your own very thing.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. I think that's our time on the island this week. Before we go, Jamie, would you like to give us the socials?
Yes. Please contact us, comment, tell us if we're shite or not at facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at fiveclubpod, Twitter at fiveclub, email ken@fiveclub.co.uk or on www.fiveclub.co.uk.
Perfect. Anything else to say, anybody? No?
P for G.
Next week will be a little bit different. It's just going to be myself with our two
guest that I'll be interviewing, the Coal Town Daisies. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Are we not doing a regular episode as well?
No, we're not. We're just going to do that because then it gives us a week off. Well, yeah, it gives the rest of the guys a week off because I'll have to edit it all. I'll be doing that, and I'm probably going to try and get some clips and bits and pieces from around Best of the West Festival as well.
Shall we tell the listeners about our other upcoming day, which we're hoping to do?
Yes. let's do that. We are going to try and do an episode from the Dunfermline Beer Festival in October. See how that goes. It might be loud, it might be noisy, it might not work, but I think it's worth giving a go.
What we should do is we should do like a half-length episode, and then have like a 10-15 minute vignette from the beginning of a beer festival,
yes,
we're sober,
to the end,
and then a 10-15 outside or just before we get kicked out being wasted.
I think it could be a good audio skate of our evening at the beer festival. I think that would be good,
and we'll try and talk to people and maybe if there's any interest in folk around, see about it. I think I might drop them a wee message on Facebook and just see if they're alright with that as well.
Yes. Well, sure. And we should also just give them a promote. I think it's the 2nd and the 3rd of October.
No, the 6th and the 7th.
Yes.
Oh, what is it? Yes. The 6th and 7th.
It's usually the 1st,
Okay, so the 6th and 7th of October, Friday, Saturday night, tickets are £10 and the money raised goes to the Anthony Nolan Trust.
Possibly,
It's the round table, isn't it?
Yeah, the round table. So you get to drink beer and donate money to charity, which is the best idea ever.
It's £10 a ticket, and I think you can get tickets on Ticketweb and
from Rosyth Fish Bar.
there's several businesses. I think it's the businesses that are involved in the round table.
I think one of the estate agents in the town does it as well.
There's normally about 40 to 50 beers there. There's a good selection of beer, and normally try and work our way through it.
We can give reviews as we go as well.
Mm-hmm. Just a Fife Club tip for you. Don't hide your glasses because you can't take them into clubs in the pond outside, and then go back to get them the next morning because the guy in the morning fishes them out and puts them in the bin.
I put
them in the pond and then drink out of it again. It's absolutely fun.
That's what the beer fest is to you. Well, on that note, it does bring me to that time of the night where I have to ask Mags, what is our motto for this week?
Well, Kutch, that don't impress me much.
I've heard that so many times in a female voice.
How are you feeling, Mags?
I don't impress me much.
What? How are you feeling? Like a...
A woman! I feel like I've got a vagina! I just got it.
Good night.
Good night. Bye. 'There's a Steve Reich piece and it's just two people clapping.
I've never heard of that, really. It sounds like a Steve...
That's just the Steve Reich piece.
It sounds like a Steve Reich piece, but I've never heard of that one.
There's this week's intro.
Just before we do start, maybe a little bit added extra. What do we all think of Mark? Cunt?
Obviously.
Yeah.
Aye.
What? Are we talking about that?
Just something that we can stick in at the end.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so Mark is...
Well, I've never liked him. Yeah. Like, all 20 years I've known him, I've never actually liked him. Is this a bit too harsh? But we could be like, also, has anyone noticed, like, he really is very bald these days? I can't say, that's mean though, isn't it?
You've already said it.
Gold for the extras, thank you.
Oh shit, were you recording that?